It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
And we're back. Season 3, Episode 1, or as we're going to call it this year, number 45. Of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. Man, you know what? Summer's over.
Yeah.
Football season's here.
Time to toss the football in the air.
That's right. It's been being tossed in the air. We're going to talk a little bit about that.
But it's time for us to.
Yeah, it's time for us to start talking about it. You know, we got some big things going on, though, Tony. A couple of new teams we're bringing in this year.
Yep.
You want to talk about that?
Bringing in the Nashville Scrappers. The Queen, Ashdown especially, and Mina, some extent, all have a love-hate relationship with Nashville, so we thought it would be interesting to bring them on board. And then also the Mina Bearcats, mm-hmm. who in football recently have really kind of turned the corner and have their program headed in the right direction.
Yeah, looking forward to that. We're going to have a lot of information on all the teams. We've got, we've still got the Queen, Horatio, Ashdown, Costot River, Dirks, and Foreman, and we're adding Nashville and Mina. So going to be a lot of football right now.
Be a lot
and
of
high
lot
school
of every
sports.
Week.
Yeah, when we get into basketball, it'll be a lot.
A lot.
That's right. But before we get into that, let's talk about number 45. You know, there are a lot of, number 45 is not that big a number. It's not as big as I thought it would be.
Well, Michael Jordan wore it for a little while.
Yeah.
A little while. I would say of the people who wore it routinely, Archie Griffin. Mm-hmm. Two-time Heisman winner at Ohio State. That's a pretty big. Bob Gibson wore it for a while. Pedro Martinez. Kenny Easley, who's kind of forgot about. He was a great defensive back for the Seattle Seahawks. I think he's a Hall of Famer. He wore 45. Mm-hmm. And we never talk about kickers, Greg, but Morton Anderson wore 45 for a little while.
If you're going to talk about one, he's a good one to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
For a little while, he wore it ever since I was born. He's probably still wearing it.
He may be.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell. He played until he was like 45 or 46 years old.
Yeah, I know. I have got to talk about a couple of baseball players from my youth.
Okay.
Louis Tiant, yeah. Boston Red Sox,
yeah.
wore number 45, and Denny McClain.
Yeah.
Detroit Tigers.
Yeah.
You remember the Detroit Tigers? You probably don't even remember this. I remember the Detroit Tigers and the St. Louis Cardinals playing. Bob Gibson, Denny McClain. Those games were amazing.
Yeah.
All right, Grandpa, let's get to the bad.
Tell us about the good old days.
But one other one I want to mention is Rudy Tomjanovich. He wore number 45, most famous for getting his jaw broken by Maurice Lucas. He also was the coach for the Houston Rockets.
I also saw an article that Johnny Majors, when he played college football, wore 45.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So a lot of great 45s, but it kind of all gets overshadowed because Michael Jordan wore it for about 3 weeks.
Was that when he was with the Wizards or whatever? Or
No. He retired from the Bulls. So they retired number 23.
Yeah.
So when he came back, he put on 45.
Oh, I got
so
you.
So he put on, and somebody mailed him about 45's not 23. Next night, he had 23 on. And he scored about 60 on him. I can't remember who that was. You can look it up, though. Somebody mailed him.
Dang.
And it was in the playoffs.
Don't poke the bear, man.
Yeah. That's right.
True.
That's right. But we got a lot of football to get to. The way we're going to look at it this year, or this next 3 weeks, we're going to be previewing teams, and today we're going to preview the Queen and Horatio, and then we'll let you know a little bit later who's going to be next week.
Adding the few teams that you guys did, I think is a slam dunk. I think it's the right choice. We had somebody message us last year asking why can't we cover Nashville, and it was like, well, how much further do we keep going out and stuff? But hey, man, the podcast gets bigger, the topics get bigger, right?
And we're all connected.
That's right.
I mean, we like to, kid around, give them a hard time.
Of course.
We got a lot of great friends over in Nashville.
We do.
And then we also know Pinson.
Well, me personally, I can't speak for everyone in the Queen, but, if they're playing teams in Central Arkansas or Northwest Arkansas, I like to see them win.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Absolutely. I'm totally with you on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we're going to, you know, we're going to move forward this week. And the first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about the Queen Leopards. Tony, you want to start us off there?
Well, Leopards was 3-7 last year, 1-6 in the league, which is the 5A South. That was the most wins they had had since the 2018 season when they went 5-5 when Stephen Sloan was at the helm. That team nearly made the playoffs. They came down to some kind of tiebreaker where we didn't beat Fairview by enough points or something like that. And so you got to go back to 2011, the last time the Leopards made the playoffs. But run the flex bone. The heart of the flex bone, of course, is the triple option where the quarterback basically has three, and if you want to count passing the ball, four choices on each play. You can give the ball to the fullback, he can keep the ball and run, he can pitch it to the slot back, or he can fake the pitch and rear back and throw. Mm-hmm. I'll be interesting to see, for me, it'll be interesting to see how Jake Martin, new Leopard quarterback, I think he has pretty good arm, and I think part of the key to the Leopards, you know, and I'm nobody's football coach, Greg, but we have to be able to give the illusion that we might throw the football at some point to keep 10 and 11 men out of the box.
Well, yeah, that's true. And I think one thing you talk about when you talk about the flex bone is it all starts with the fullback.
Yeah.
If you don't have the ability to get them to basically get 2 or 3 yards every time, or you've got to make them respect that fullback dive.
Exactly. And the Leopards have the pieces that could really come together. A strong offensive line, maybe one of the strongest they've had in years. Rylan Pickett, a strong fullback, and maybe that 3 or 4 yards in a cloud of dust where you keep offenses like Parkview and Fairview and Lakeside off the field and on the sidelines for a while, which is definitely our best defense against those teams. You know, maybe that comes together more with a solid line. And then Rylan Pickett. And then I'm going to tell you, Drayden Bennett is going to be a load at wingback.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of the conference is aware of him, but they'll be aware of him by the time the season's over.
Hmm. Yeah, they sure will. And you know, the thing about it is, when you look at it, talking about backs, you know, Luis Sotelo.
Yes.
Who 2 years ago was a 1,000-yard rusher for the junior high team.
Had an incredible year.
He had an incredible year. Last year he skipped or didn't play last year, but he's back this year.
Right.
And so, you know, there's a big addition. You also have Landon Wise, who I believe was a 1,000-yard rusher, really close to it for the junior high team last year.
Yeah, I think he was really close.
Yeah. And so I mean, I think we've got more running backs than we've actually had in quite some time. Now, the other thing you talked about is you talked about the passing game. And, you know, we may have one of the best wide receivers we've had in quite some time in John Maturino.
Yeah.
You know, just set the school record in high jump last spring.
Yeah.
A great athlete, plays basketball. We watched him do that. Really great athlete. He can go up and get the ball.
That's exactly right.
And from what I understand in some of these team camps they've had, I actually got the chance to talk to Jake Martin yesterday. One of the things, there was somebody came up to him at one of these team camps and said, "So when did y'all start throwing the ball?" And you know, so I think they're gonna be more open than they have been in the past.
Yeah.
And I
think that is key, you know, to keeping that box a little cleaner. That would be great.
And then when you do that, and when you add to that the line that they have and some of the linemen they're bringing up too, you know, we talked about Darian Henderson, we talked about Jeremiah Cotto, there's a whole lot of different ones. Julio Soto.
Soto, yeah.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
6 foot, 300 pounds. He's squatting 500 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah, the line is going to be strong, I think especially the middle of the line, which is could really open up that fullback.
Yeah,
and they've got some good sophomore offensive linemen as well. So I think as far as depth goes, that may be where the Leopards are the deepest.
Yeah, you know, Kix Lee's coming up.
That's right.
He's been playing center. I think he's probably going to be the starting center.
Yeah,
at the first of the year, you got, and I won't say this name right, Atric Rayfand.
tell you what,
he's a man.
He's a stud.
Yeah, he is.
He is a stud.
Yeah.
And he'll just be a freshman.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, sophomore.
Sophomore, yeah.
Sophomore, yeah, be a sophomore. He was a freshman last year. But,
yeah,
but you know, I think that they've got the potential to be a really, really good offensive team in this flex bone, more so than I think ever since they started using it.
Right.
And so interesting, really, really excited to see it. And, you know, one of the things, you know, we talk about Kix Lee at center and Jeremiah Cotto, we mentioned him. He is hurt, but he's going to be back soon.
So, yeah.
You know. And
very talented young man. He's also the Leopards drum major.
That's right.
The band's drum major.
Yep. And he's going to do a good job there. So that pretty much covers the offense, I think. What do you think about the defense?
I think the defense is going to be very similar to the offense, Greg. I think up front's going to be their strength. You know, they've got Darion Henderson and Zayden DeCanis. And these guys are going to, you know, they're going to hold down the front.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got some – a little less experience at defensive end, but you move Kyle Williamson from linebacker to end, you have to do that because you're quarterback in Martin. And I think Kyle Williamson and Coach Bell's going to mention it in the interview. I think he's, I mean, a great. I mean, I know they needed him in end.
You could put him in safety.
I agree.
Yeah. Or you could put him in nose guard.
Yeah.
Or you can put him in middle linebacker.
Yeah.
Wherever he plays, he's moving from an all-conference defensive end to middle linebacker, which he's probably more suited to playing.
Yeah.
You know, he was playing.
Do we got to change the nickname, though?
Well, you might. Because he's not going to give us many tackles for loss, probably.
No, from that middle linebacker. He's led the world in tackles for loss last 2 years.
Yeah, he has. But, you know, the thing about it is, when he was playing defensive end, at least in conference, he went up against people bigger than him every game.
Yeah.
And playing middle linebacker, he's going to have a better opportunity to see the play developing, know where to go, and just go to it. But, you know,
I'm going to do my best to not upset Darion Henderson because 6'5", 315, everybody that sees him says, you know, if it all comes together, he could be playing college football.
Yeah. Well, you know, they talked about squats and Coach Bell will talk about him too. But I'm going to tell you what impresses me. I was always impressed by bench press. He's benching over 400 pounds.
Whoa.
A high school kid.
Yeah.
Benching over 400 pounds.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, can you imagine that? That's like he puts his arm out, you run into it. It's like running into an iron bar. I mean, it's got to be. You know, and I just think that, you know, it's just going to be, you know, their line, both offensive and defensively, is going to be a strength, and it hadn't always been the case.
No, I really think that that's going to be the strength of the team this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Rusty Bermeo outside linebacker.
That's
and
right.
The thing about Rusty is he has a high motor, man. He is always he is always moving. As far as motor, you don't have to worry about Rusty as far as that goes. If there's an area of concern on the defense, at least, I mean, from the way I see it, is we got a very young secondary.
Yeah.
And we may have to figure out some ways to help them. Getting to the quarterback would help them a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and there may be more blitzing with TFL going.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, John Maturino is the only returning secondary starter.
Right.
So they got to replace three people back there. But just mentioned,
I had a great secondary last year.
They
though.
Did.
Yeah.
But a couple of them moved too.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
right.
So we had six move out, probably, and according to Coach Bell, I don't know, I've seen him so many times. He was here Monday morning, then he was at Rotary, then I interviewed him. You know, I can't remember which time he said this, but I think out of the six, he said three of those would have started.
Yeah.
So, you know, but, you know, that's just the way it goes sometimes. But one kid I want to mention, that he got some spot playing time last year, but I think he's going to be a difference maker on the defense, and that's Ty Wagner.
Yeah.
He's going to be taking Kyle Williamson's defensive
end spot.
Another
guy with a high motor.
Yeah.
And yeah, a lot of those sophomores had high motors. They really impressed me last year. Walcott, you know,
Evan Walcott could be a defensive back.
Absolutely,
did a good job last
year. And the thing about having an all underclassman secondary is you won't have one next year.
That's right.
So I mean, there's upside and downside.
That's right.
I think the Leopards, Greg, as we talked about. I think one of the keys is be better on first down. Don't put yourself in second and nine. a lot. Don't put yourself in first and 15 a lot. You know, dead ball penalties on the offensive side of the ball. We're just not built for that.
Yeah.
We're built for second and six. So we've got to. I think we got to do better there. I think that, like I said up front, the Leopards are going to be strong up front. We play in the SEC 5A, though. I know that five of the teams in our conference are ranked in the top 20 in 5A, and three of them are ranked in the top five. So, you know, competition's stiff in the 5A South, but I think the Leopards could have a good year this year.
I you want to go you want to go out on a limb and predict anything?
No.
Okay. well, you know,
you just don't know with you know with especially with us. I mean, you know, these schools that have 100 kids out and they've got 100 kids and they can just, you know, take one in and plug one in, and they're you know, we don't have that. So one or two key kids getting hurt could really change our season. Last year we were pretty fortunate to be relatively injury free, and I've already been in prayer that that's the case this year as well.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to tell you what. Here's my prediction: we're going to improve over last year.
That would be that'd be great.
Yeah.
We're headed in the right direction, Coach Bell. I'm going to tell you what, man. Last year, for the last many years, I've got to be on the sidelines, and different coaches have different styles. Some are very quiet, some are very methodical. That's not Bell. Bell is a motivator. He'd motivate me to want to go out there and play.
Yeah, and again, I can't remember when we talked about it. I think this was on the radio, though. But we talked about, you know, Bo McCaslin put together a video of the state championship game.
That's right.
And guess who's leading the cheers over there in the student section? It's Richard Bell.
Yeah, it is.
And that is Richard Bell.
That is.
And I told him,
he's all Leopard.
Yeah. You know, if there's anybody that said, you know, you say once a Leopard, always a Leopard, he is the embodiment of that.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, we couldn't ask for a better coach.
No.
To be here.
He's the right guy at the right time.
That he really is. And appreciate him so much for all he does for us and helping us out and what he does for the kids. You'll hear about it in an interview, so I'm not going to, you know, waste some time on it here, but what he does at the Pee Wee program is amazing.
It is.
With everything else he's got going on.
Yeah.
And let's
they
hear
basically doubled or tripled their numbers.
Yeah, that's right. Let's hear from Richard Bell right now.
I'm here with Coach Richard Bell, and we're going to talk about the upcoming football season for the Leopards. Coach, third year's head coach here. Last year had three wins, got a conference win last year. All those things, if things that haven't happened in the recent past. So got things moving in the right direction, I believe.
Yeah, it was an exciting year for us. You know, we won three games in a row again and got to get a conference win, which is big for us. And so for us, it's all about moving forward with the program, and improving on what you did last year. And again, it's always good to improve on wins and losses, but it's also good to improve on the quality and skill level of your kids. So as long as we're moving the program forward and not being static or going backwards, I think I'll be happy. But definitely a couple more wins would be great.
Well, we always like wins, but I you know, one of the things that that impresses me most about you, Coach, is the way you handle yourself under situations that could have been better, and you're teaching your kids how to have high moral character, how to work hard, how to understand that even when you have those things, everything doesn't always work out right.
Right. Oh yeah.
Yeah. But you know, that's just the way it goes. But you know, looking at Leopard football as far as this year and moving forward, we had a junior high class that won conference last
Correct.
Year.
Right.
They're moving up, you know, so that's going to be beneficial in the next 2-3 years. You know, you've talked about some things. You might want to talk just a minute about the Pee Wee program before we get into the high school program, because I think that's something that's really instrumental in getting Leopard football where it needs to be.
Yeah, I think, you know, in all sports, you got to start with them young, where you find the love for the game, you know, and you instill that love for football or whatever it be at a young age. Yeah, so last year, unfortunately, we had a very low numbers for Pee Wee football. Fifth and sixth, I think, had 18 kids, and the third and fourth didn't even make So I kind of made a priority of mine this year to try to help turn that around. And I reached out to the Parks and Recreation and the mayor and talked to them about what could we do. And they said the main factor they hear is, you know, the cost of it. So I reached out to community members and, you know, asked for sponsors to help pay for kids because, you know, it's $100. And a lot of people couldn't afford it at that time, you know, because you got to put groceries on the table. And I'm well aware of that. And luckily, I was in a place where I could sponsor 10 kids myself. And then I got the Booster Club to step in and they sponsored 10 more kids. And then I had some people reach out and said that, they don't even know these kids and they have no skin in the game. And they called me just to pay for some kids. And we ended up going from just having 18 last year to, you know, we have over 40 this year. And I think it was just, you know, little things. It might have been some financial burden holding them back. And we found a way through that. And so I've got our numbers back up. And I think that's great.
Well, I appreciate you doing that. And not only did you do that, a lot of people probably don't know this. The coaching staff for the Leopards actually coaches these Pee Wee players.
We do. So we host the practices at our stadium. They use our tackling dummies, our bags. I try to get my staff out there as much as I can to help with us. We have coaches on staff whose kids play and they're coaching them. And we have kids that will come out there and, you know, the Leopards coaching the younger Leopards. So that, you know, that's great to see. And so to me, you know, just instilling stuff in them and putting in a little extra work to make a kid's day is great for me, you know, and I enjoy seeing, like, again, you know, they have practice today at 6. And so we'll be out there today, teach them how to tackle and how to do things proper and just have a fun day.
Well, sounds great. And we appreciate all the effort you're putting in to make the Leopards the best they can be. Going on to the high school this year, you know, you've got like four or five different returning all-conference linemen.
Right.
But not all those people are going to be in the same place. I know a lot of players that have played, from the time they were sophomores, they're still playing, but they're not playing in the same place.
Correct.
One of the things you had Cole Binkley as quarterback for the last 3 years. He's moved on up to Batesville and playing football up there. So
right.
got a new quarterback.
Yeah, so Jake Martin has been starting for me at middle linebacker, and he's been our backup quarterback. Well, this year he's going to be our starting quarterback. Well, I can't have my quarterback getting pounded at middle linebacker and then come around and throwing the ball. So I had to move Jake from middle linebacker to starting quarterback, and he's doing a great job for us, you know, and he's fit right in. But with moving him, you know, I left a vacancy there at that middle linebacker. Luckily, I have Kyle Williamson, who's a very versatile player. He's built more like a linebacker, but he's been doing really great at defensive end in the last couple of years, led us in sacks. And so we've moved Kyle to middle linebacker. And he's still be on the line some, just depending on what package we're in, because sometimes we go from a four front to a five front, and he'll walk down and be on the line then. Yes, we've had to move some guys around, and they've all been just, you know, it's hard to say, hey, it's your senior year, Jake Martin. I'm going to take you from middle linebacker to starting quarterback. And he was like, hey, wherever you need me, coach. And that talks about the type of kids that we have. You know, they just want to play ball and have fun. I think Kyle's going to enjoy the middle linebacker spot being moved, you know, standing up a little bit more, getting to see a little bit more of the game. Because, you know, as well as I do, if you have to line up on a defensive end and you're built like a linebacker, but you line up somebody who's 6'4", who's a tackle, that's kind of rough. So I think Kyle's going to enjoy that move.
Yeah, well, and you know, just I think that, you know, those two kids are wherever you put them, they're going to
play. Oh, and they're great kids. They're smart. And I like to talk about kids with high moral character, mm-hmm. kids that have good upbringing, and those are the two ones that I would say. I mean, like I said, I have kids who miss for work, and I have kids that miss for all types of things. You know, these two young men were missed for church camps, and they're missed for, you know, future, you know, Agrat Leaders of America type deal, and 4-H, and, you know, they're really out there community, and they're really doing well, and I can't wait to see what they have after football, after this year's done. I mean, they're just great young men. I'm glad to have them.
Yeah. And just moving on the offense a little bit, got a couple of running backs coming back, but also have some injections
guys, yeah.
from the junior high team there.
Yeah, we have – so we got Rylan Pickett's back at fullback. You know, he's just a big, heavy kid that's going to get us 3 yards in a cloud of dust no matter what, and he's just imperative to us when we run the ball and blocking as well. And then we got Drayden Bennett's back at big – powerful running wing that's going to be coming downhill. And those are the two returning starters that we have there. Then we have Luis Sotelo, who did not play last year, but as a ninth grader was a 1,000-yard rusher. So we got him back out, and he's playing this year. And then, of course, we got Landon Wise, who was another 1,000-yarder right at it last year in junior high. So we have some kids that we can plug in and play at those spots. And you know, having Luis back is big. That means I could have maybe put Wise more at running back, and Luis was a great linebacker. So I could put Luis out there at that Sam linebacker, and so they both don't have to play both ways all the time. They can get a little bit of a break. So, and that's the important thing about, you know, these young men transitioning from junior high to football. A lot of them don't because they want to move on to do other things. But getting them back out and being a part of the team is great.
Yeah, and I was just, you know, one of the things that I've noticed and we talked about a little bit before was, I think one of your strengths is going to be your line.
Oh, our offensive line, and I said that the other day, you know, it's one of the biggest we've had. Like I said, you know, we have Kix Lee right now who's starting at center, and I think Kix is probably, you know, he's about 6 foot, probably about 245. You know, we have Julio who's 6'1", 280. Darren Henderson who's 6'4", 330. We have Atrick, who's a ninth grader. Atrick's a Samoan-built type kid, you know. He's fun to be around, and I think Atrick's 6'1", 6'2", 280. You know, then right beside him, we got Roy. So, I mean, we got one of the biggest O-lines that we've had in a long time, and I'm really excited about it, especially with that group of running backs behind them. I think our offense is going to have a very, very good year. We tried to load the offense up as much as we could, and most of them could try to go one way as much as possible because everybody we play in our conference is basically one-way guys. Mm-hmm. We can't do it as much as they do. But if I can get that O-line, you know, and of course quarterback and some guys being one-way so they're fresh, it's just better for us.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing about it is these guys aren't just big boys. They're strong boys too.
Oh, yeah.
You've had them working out in the weight room also.
Darian and Julio, both who star on the O-line, both squat over 500 pounds. Darian benches 430 pounds. I mean, it's just unbelievably strong kids. And then we got the young guys who absolutely love the weight room, like Cy Collins and Keegan McCoy is going to come up. Keegan is going to be our backup quarterback. Keegan McCoy bench pressed 225 the other day for the first time. You know, you got Cy Collins who's really blown up lifting weights. You know, so these young guys really like the weight room, and I'm big on the weight room. I think it's one of the most important things you can do for the football field. So, yeah, no, it's a – I really am excited to see, you know, that offense pop this year. And then on defense, again, with Kyle and, you know, Darren may play a little bit on that D-line. And then I got Sotelo outside and Rusty Biermo, who's a returning starter on the linebacker side, John Maturino. I'm kind of excited. You know, we lost both our starting corners and safety from last year because Cotto graduated, and then the other two moved this offseason. So the secondary is going to be all brand new besides John Maturino. Linebacker-wise, the only returning linebacker I got is right now because I moved Martin is going to be Rusty, but Rusty's a hard-nosed guy. And Ty Wagner has been having a great offseason at defensive end because we moved Kyle to linebacker, so we need a guy to be our number one guy at defensive end. And Ty Wagner has really done that this offseason, doing a tremendous job. So it's one of those things that I really do get excited. I actually, just talking a little bit right then, you know, I'm getting chill bumps just thinking about what going to watch. I mean, it's fun watching them play. You know, even if they, you know, they may lose a ball game, it's just the light bulb going on and them making great plays. Is this what it's all about to me? Because at the end of the day, you got to remember it's a game. And these boys are playing the game for probably the last time as these seniors that they're ever played again. So you want to make it fun as possible, but you also want to remember that, you know, it's a time in their life that they're always going to remember, so you don't want to ruin it for them either.
Yeah.
But you do want to be there and teach them right, and I'm excited about it.
Well, it sounds good. There's a couple of things I was going to ask you about. You know, when are we going to get some move-ins?
I would love that. I would love to have a 6'4", 230 outside linebacker come in. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think that'd be great. Great too, but you know, talking about the conference schedule, I mean, we got, you know, you got the same old, same old.
Right.
You got Parkview, you got Lakeside, you got Hot Springs, you got Camden Fairview.
Yeah.
And when you look at those four teams, you know, they're not going to give you a break.
Yeah,
they're tough, and they're always going to be tough. And just, you know,
all four of those teams at any point in the next year or two could be the next state champion. They're that good, and they pound each other every time they play. You know, they both went deep in the playoffs last year. I think Camden went third round. Parkview won it again. I think, you know, Lakeside, you know, went third or fourth. I mean, you're just really good teams that we're able to play. But again, you know, we're going to prepare every week to win a ball game and give those kids the best opportunity that we can to win that ball game. But they definitely got an uphill battle on some of those teams.
Well, I was just looking at, you know, Hooton's, when you look at their top 20 overall in 5A, you know, we've got five different teams there out of our
Well, I think if I'm right, go back and see Parkview's number one.
Parkview's number
Hot
one.
Hot Springs Lakeside three. Camden Fairview's number five. Yeah, so yeah. three of the top five are in our conference.
You got Hot Springs at 13, Magnolia at 16. So
yeah, so it's definitely tough. Tough conference to be in, but again, what you do is like you do every week, no matter what you're playing, is that you watch that film and you break it down and you try to put your boys in the best position that you can for them to make that play. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe they just can't make it, maybe they get outdone, but at least they're in the right spot, you know. Yeah. So that's 100% what we're going to try to do.
Well, Coach, we're really looking forward to the season starting. You know, you've got a scrimmage game at Waldron on August the 22nd. First game at Mena on August 29th. And I told you this morning, summer's over. Football season's here, right?
I'm definitely excited. And I told my wife the other day, you know, when August gets here, I start getting a little antsy, a little giddy, and it's hard for me to sleep, you know, because I'm thinking the things I'm doing. And then when the games start, you know, just I'm watching games and getting excited. And everybody's like, you know, did you watch so-and-so football game Saturday? Or did you watch NFL on Sunday? I was like, no, but Parkview's pretty good. I can tell you, you know, I'm watching so much high school film that I don't watch a whole lot of. Now I watch the Razorbacks play, but other than that, I'm watching other stuff and grading my kids and trying to help them best I can. But yeah, I'm excited. I really am. You know, a lot of people get to sit on Saturdays and Sundays and watch football and not be involved. I get to be the opposite. I get to be involved on it every Friday, and I love it.
That's great, man. And we appreciate you taking time to visit with us. Look forward to visiting with you during the season. And go Leopards!
All right, go Leopards!
Big thanks. Thanks to Coach Bell for taking the time out to do that interview with us. And let's talk about one of our returning sponsors, and that is DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. They've actually sponsored the podcast since day one. DeQueen Animal Hospital, 1690 Highway 70 West, right here in DeQueen. You can give them a call at 870-642-8387.
Bets.
And that will get you a place to schedule your appointments at and talk any information that you need. They've helped me out tremendously in the past, as well as you guys as well.
Well, you know, I can tell you, just in the last month, we lost our Daisy, and we took her to Dr. Martin. I've just never met a more compassionate man about you know, it's a hard situation. I mean, anybody that's lost a pet knows how hard that is, and it's never easy, but they made it as easy as it possibly could be.
Yeah.
And, you know, they took care of Daisy. We had her cremated. They gave us her ashes. It was all done in a couple of days, and they are just. I can't say enough good things about Dr. Martin.
Yeah,
and you know, this week, Ollie's been out there. He's out there right now as we record this.
He's been out there twice.
Yeah, and they're taking care of him, and we trust him implicitly and all his staff to do everything they can to keep all our animals.
Yep.
Big ones, small ones, intermediate ones.
I recently got a new pup and got Parvo and had to take him over there, and they were able to keep him overnight and get him back to where he needed to be. Saved his life, you know, and he's still rolling strong. So big thanks and a big shout out to DeQueen Animal Hospital. Also, Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, if you're in Little River County, 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, you can call them at 870-898-5181 and schedule your appointment with them today. And definitely check them out on Facebook at DeQueen Animal Hospital / Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. So happy to have them returning back for season 3 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. They're great folks, great community people, and they offer amazing services here in Southwest Arkansas for all your veterinary needs. Give them a call and schedule your appointment today. It's DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic. All right.
Thank them so much for sponsoring us.
Absolutely. So we move on. I think we talk about the Horatio Lions now, right?
That's where we're going. All we're right. going down to Horatio to talk about the Lions. The Lions last year were 2-8
And that's the most wins they've had since 2021.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll talk. We talked about this with the Leopards earlier, and talked with Coach Willis, and you know, and it seems to be a recurring theme. No matter who we talk about, who we talk to, we're in a tough conference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Horatio in a tough conference. You look at, you got Prescott, you got you know, Smackover, Falk's no pushover. You got Harmony Grove there, and then you got Bismarck, went to the state championship game last year. So,
yep.
You know, no easy games on their schedule.
And they play the Leopards non-conference. You know, Horatio playing a 5A school non-conference.
Yeah.
They're not ducking anybody.
No, and you know, and the thing about it is, and we talked about that too, I really love that.
I do too.
I think it's great for both our schools. And what a draw.
Yeah.
You know, and
it was a really, you know, even despite the weather last year, there was so many people mm-hmm. down at Horatio. I imagine there'll be more at DeQueen this year,
yeah.
Especially if the weather's good.
Yep. Yep. I think so too. But you know, just to start talking about them, I mean, what kind of offense they run, Tony?
The wing T, multiple handoffs, fake reverse handoffs. The wing T is designed to confuse the defense. And I think that they're going to be better at it this year, maybe than last year. Going to have a new quarterback out there, sophomore Isaiah Samuels, 5'7", 165. I'm gonna say he can run, Greg.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he can throw. I think he can do them both.
Do you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just from talking to Coach Willis. But, yeah, he's going to be a runner for sure.
Tailback – Hazen Hicks, we talked about him a lot last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph Fonseca, you know, both guys that we have talked about in the past. You know, they've got wingback Marvin Martinez. Mm-hmm. He's described in Hootens as being tough as a boot. Unfortunately, there was nobody in the Hootens I've got to read so far that was described as a defensive stud.
No, I didn't see that yet.
I'm still looking.
Yeah.
But
wasn't in Horatio anyway.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, not this year.
And then wide receiver Landon Emerson, sure-handed. And maybe, and, you know, this is debatable, you know, at least one of the best offensive linemen in Southwest Arkansas. We talked about him a lot last year. Miguel Valera Hernandez, 260 pounds.
Well, yeah, and he's only one of numerous ones. First of all, they only lost two starters from
right.
the year before.
Right.
So they're bringing almost everybody back. And then secondly, when you look at that, I mean, he's going to anchor that line, but you've got people like Ty Dorsey, Christian Bennett, Carson Bailey, I know I'm missing somebody, but he's got lots of different linemen.
They got a lot of their team back.
Yeah, offensively and defensively. You know, and when we saw them last year, we were impressed with their offensive line then. A lot of them were sophomores.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think that's going to be one of their strong points, as we talked about with the Leopards. Offensively and defensively is going to be the line.
Yeah. On defense, they run the four front, which it is best because of its adaptability. You know, you can turn it into a 4-3, a 4-2-5, a 4-4 if you're playing a heavy run team. So I kind of like the defense. You know, you talk about their middle linebacker, Salvador. I'm hoping I'm saying this name right. Elman, a great tackler. You know, the Lions were – I thought they were really aggressive on defense last year, and I think that is a product of their coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I think they're going to be undersized in a lot of their games, you know. Man, they play with the heart of a lion. I think we said that a couple of times last
year.
You know?
Yep. And that's one of the things that Coach Willis says. You know, he says basically we're a 2A size program playing in a 3A conference.
Right. Right.
We understand that. And so most of the people that they see are going to be bigger. They're going to be faster. They're going to have more people that don't have to go both ways.
Right.
You know, and I asked him a little bit about depth, and when he just kind of laughed. You know,
he did, yeah.
Yeah.
He did.
He just said, basically what we do is we stick whoever we think the best, you know, we got to, if somebody comes out, somebody, we put the best one there and move them around.
Yeah.
In whatever position.
Yeah.
You know, so they got to know multiple positions.
Well, so many schools in our area are like that. I mean, mm-hmm. we just don't have the numbers where, so there's a few holes in the dike. You find the biggest hole and you plug in the person, but that creates a little, maybe a smaller hole, you know, yeah. somewhere else.
That's right.
So, that's probably an issue that most Southwest Arkansas football teams have to deal with.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at their conference, I mean, like I said, Prescott and Bismarck, that's enough said right there.
It is.
You know, that they're just who they are. And I, you know, but I think that what's happened is, but they're going to, you know, they got, I think they're, as we talked about with the Leopards, I think their secondary may be a place where they're going to have to be shored up a little bit.
Right.
And they've got a lot of people playing that have played.
Right.
But I still think that may be defensively their weak point.
Yeah. And we talked about this with the Leopards as well. Your front seven can do a lot for the secondary.
That's right.
If they can get to the quarterback.
That's right.
Not give that quarterback all day to, you know.
If they got
I'm going to tell you what, you give any quarterback 5-6 seconds, they're going to find somebody open there. I mean, if you've got Deion Sanders back there and Rod Woodson and whatever, you know, you can only cover them so long.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. And I think you're right. The front seven are going to have to take care of the lines defensively, too,
yep.
In that case. Anything else you got on the lines?
No. I think that Coach Willis has them headed in the right direction. And they were 2-8 last year. I think that they could improve on that.
And I'm going to be 100% in agreement
yep.
with you. I think that they're going to improve on that 2-8 record, and we're just waiting to see how far. Let's see what Coach Willis has to say about it.
Okay, we're here with Coach Paul David Willis of the Horatio Lions. Coach, summer's over, isn't it? Football season's here.
Well, it's here.
Yeah.
Like it or not, it's here.
Well, you know, first year for you down there, at least in this run through, you know, and tough year last year, but you know, just seeing what I saw, you had a lot of good players that are coming back and something to really build on for the Lions for 2025.
Well, you know, we did. We had a real good off season and a real good spring, and I felt real good about it, and we did. So we've got a lot of kids back, and we hope we have a little more success this year.
That's great. I know, you know, especially I was really impressed with your line last year when I saw them, you know, they were young, and I think most of them were coming back.
Well, we didn't lose many. We lost, you know, like two starters. So, you know, for the most part, it's, we got a lot of them back.
Well, good. What about your backfield, starting out with quarterback? Who's going to be the quarterback this year?
Well, we got a sophomore there. His name is Isaiah Samuels. We had a quarterback school, and because I knew that we were replacing a senior, we had a quarterback school, and we had four or five kids come up. And quite honestly, Isaiah was the one kid that was there every week. And really showed a lot of desire to want to be a quarterback. And so, you know, I've been there all together 3 years. I coached 1 year, I sat out a year, and then I coached again the second year. And every year I've been there, we've had a senior quarterback. And, you know, I'm not a real smart guy, but it didn't really make a whole lot of sense to me to keep doing that. We're playing seniors at quarterback, and they got 1 year under their belt, and then they graduate. So I thought, you know, it would make, if you're going to have a rookie, you might as well have a rookie that's a true rookie, but you're going to have him 3 more years or 2 more years.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we do it.
Right. He'll only be a rookie 1 year, won't he?
You're right.
Yeah, that's great. So moving back in the backfield, what about running back?
Well, last year, Hazen Hicks was our halfback, and we're moving in this year to – we call him a tailback. A lot of wing team people would probably call him a fullback, but the way I think, we don't really have a fullback in that offense. So we call him a tailback. He's the one that sits behind the quarterback. Our halfback, where he played last year, will be Joseph Fonseca, And in our wing back, which is, you know, more of a blocking kind of guy, that's Marvin Martinez.
Okay. So you got let me ask you this question. I know a smaller school like Horatio, do you have some depth issues?
Well, I wish. Our depth, basically, we got about two other kids that'll play back there. One of them is a sophomore named Richard Frady, and another one is a senior, Isaiah Callahan. And if we get trouble depth-wise, what we do is just move one kid to another position and move one of those guys in.
I got
so those guys are all kind of cross trained and they know how to play every position back there. So we just kind of shuffle the deck as whoever's healthy.
Yeah. And last year, I know you threw the football some and had a receiver that was pretty good. But he was a senior, though, wasn't he?
Yes, he was a senior. Daniel Gideon was his name.
Yeah.
We'll be throwing the ball some through. To Fonseca, our halfback, we'll split him out and throw the ball some to him. Landon Emerson is probably going to be our starting split end. And, you know, we'll throw some to him. We've kind of got a committee right now trying to play tight end. So that one's kind of a work in progress. I don't know who's going to be there yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, overall, it sounds like, I mean, you at least got it all lined out and ready to go. You got your quarterback, had the quarterback school, and got your quarterback, a young guy that's going to be able to grow, and the line's doing really well, and you got some running backs there. Sounds like a good offense. What about defense, Paul?
Well, again, we'll be in the forefront, and most of our defense linemen are back. It's kind of the same kids, and, you know, we return a lot of linemen on both sides of the ball. So those kids will be kind of doing what they did last year. Miguel Hernandez will be one of our nose. Colin Green, Jonathan Bailey, those guys Carson Bailey, those guys will be tackles for us. We got Christian Bennett back. He played year before last. He didn't play this past year, but he's back, and he'll get some playing time up there. Ty Dorsey will be playing up front. Our better depth is our offense lineman and defense lineman because, you know, we got a lot of kids and we'll kind of rotate them in there and try to keep them fresh.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I saw last year. It looked like that was going to be the strong point of this year's team with the youth you had and the ability they had. It looked really good. Anybody shine for you in the secondary, the linebackers there?
Well, Marvin, the kid playing wingback for us, he'll be one of the inside linebackers. And Salvador Alleman is another kid that played a lot last year at inside linebacker. He's back. Joseph Fonseca, the kid playing halfback, he'll get a look at outside linebacker. We got a couple of kids that we're kind of trying to decide between on the other side. So I don't really know who's sure going to be there. Isaiah Callahan, Richard Frady, you know, same kids on offense. They'll get looks at corner. Leonard Anderson will play some corner. And then Hazen Hicks, he played safety for us last year. So he's back manning that post.
Yeah. Well, that sounds real well. What about, you know, just thinking about the kids coming up from junior high, you got anybody there that's showing out?
Well, of course, you know, Isaiah Samuels, our quarterback, he was in junior high last year. So, he's looking at playing quarterback. Richard played halfback for us last year. Richard Frady, he played halfback for us last year in junior high. So, we're going to get some mileage out of him. Justin Torres was an offensive lineman for us last year. Going to give us some depth there. He's got a whole lot of older kids that he's having to compete with. So, you know, he's going to have to kind of battle for the time, but he'll get some action.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good. Coach, if you could just kind of maybe highlight your schedule, tell me who you're looking at as the main opponents and what the conference looks like.
Well, That's not a very good conversation to have with a Horatio football coach. We're actually playing a 3A schedule with double A numbers, so that's not a fun thing. We play we play Prescott, who is always Prescott, so you don't really have to talk about them any. The last couple of years, Bismarck has really turned it on, and you know, coach doing a good job over there. They played the state championship game last year. Yeah. And didn't really lose a whole lot. I mean, they lost their quarterback, but they'll still be pretty salty because they had a good one that they were playing behind him. So you know, those two teams are probably the cream of the crop. You know, you got Smackover. Smackover is one of those tradition rich places that always produces athletes. We play Camden Harmony Grove. Another place that is just loaded with athletes, and so, you know, we don't really get anybody that looks like us, and you know, our size. It's just kind of is what it is, and you know, I guess when people are going to do anything about AAA, and they don't seem too concerned about it. So I guess we're just got to just play and hope for the best.
You know, I don't have much hope for that AAA and them being much help anyway. To anybody down here in Southwest Arkansas, you know, I'm going to tell you from talking to other coaches, Coach, I just it seems kind of be a recurring theme. It's just every team down here in Southwest Arkansas has a tough row to hoe as they go through their conference.
I agree. You know. Of course, we played the Queen, and, you know, they're so much bigger than us, too, but I guess we're used to it, so we just do it anyway.
Well, yeah, and I understand that. And one of the things I think about that game is I think it's good for Sevier County. I think it's, something that gets some people in the stands, you know, and gets a little excitement going about some football around here. And I think it's good in that sense.
We definitely keep the money in the county, and that's a good thing. And, you know,
yeah,
that was our biggest gate last year, so we kind of like that when we played at our place.
Yeah, yep, yep. And so, you know, I anything else you want to tell me before we let you go here? As far as the season is what you see happening,
I'm convinced that we're going to be better than we were last year. You know, simply because. You know, the kids have gotten a year older. They've gotten stronger. They did an outstanding job in the spring. We lost a little ground in the summer. We're trying to play catch up again, but you know, it is what it is. And you know, we're gonna battle. I promise you. I can't assure you that the record's gonna be better, but I think the kids are gonna. I think they're gonna battle more.
Well. Yeah, and Coach, from what I've seen, they're always battlers. I appreciate you taking the time to preview the Lions with me today, and I look forward to talking to you as we go through the season. Appreciate your help.
Hey, we appreciate you and what y'all do. Thank you.
And another big thanks to Coach Paul David Willis for sitting down with us and telling us everything we need to know about the Lions heading into the football season.
All right, and guess what, guys? We got a new title sponsor.
No.
That's great.
Pilgrims.
Pilgrim's Pride of DeQueen?
Yes.
The brand new title sponsor for the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air?
You got it.
We are proud to have them, man.
Yeah, and we appreciate them much for doing this. They're the perfect fit for what we do.
Absolutely.
Our coverage area is their coverage area. They are community-minded. They're involved with all kinds of sports and athletics and schools. Mm-hmm. And we just are so thankful and lucky that we got them to be our title sponsor.
A community relies on its main employer. Oh, yeah. And that's Pilgrim's Pride.
Well, and more than that, I would love to have a dollar for every piece of Pilgrim's chicken that I've ate at a fundraiser that they've donated
to
all kinds of organizations in our community.
Absolutely. They're always taking part in all the community events around here. They're very community minded. You know, we all know people that work there. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's fantastic. It's a no brainer. It's perfect, you know, for what we do here. Without Pilgrims, you know, maybe there aren't as many teams. You know what I mean? Maybe there aren't as many
people. We wouldn't be here.
Yeah. Not as many people employed here and living here. And yeah, you know.
You're exactly right when you talk about that. And I just want to take a moment just to thank them for doing it. And we'll try to make you proud of us.
That's exactly right.
You might be asking the question, who is Pilgrims? Who is Pilgrims?
You might be if you're listening from halfway across the country.
Or you haven't been paying
much
attention.
This is for you, Randy.
Yeah. If you're in Virginia, here's who Pilgrims is.
Aren't those the guys that wear the buckle on their hats and they brought turkeys over or something? Yeah. No, they are the leading global provider of high-quality food products, including well-recognized brands and value-added premium products. And we all know Pilgrims Chicken is fantastic, but let's talk about what they might do for the community. And the biggest thing they do for the community is employ the community. And if you want to, you can find jobs working for Pilgrim's Pride in their hourly production, plant operations and support, drivers, sales and marketing, human resources, research and development, quality assurance and food safety, accounting and finance, professional opportunities out the yin yang. There's a job for everybody there. When I first moved here, I considered working there, but I didn't think I'd be very good on a production line. You know me, Greg. I don't work very hard.
I think that was a good call.
So I thought maybe I could make my way into an office and do no work in there. They said, no, we don't. We need people who want to work.
Like George, have his corner office.
That's right. If I just
with your own
in,
restroom.
Yeah, just click open my briefcase and pull out my crackers.
Get your little scooter, go back and forth.
That's right.
But you know what? And one of the things, and you may get to this.
Yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I just think not only do they offer all those jobs? Think about all the people that are growing chickens for them.
Oh, man.
You know how many chicken houses, poultry houses, everywhere you go, you see them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's the main point.
They're always looking for good people, too. They spend a lot of advertising dollars in search of good people to come and work for them. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine our community without them.
Yeah, that's not even to mention the poultry raisers. You're 100% right, Greg, how many chicken houses we have around here. But when it comes to their employment, they want people. They want the best people. They offer incredible pay, incredible benefits, incredible bonuses and hourly rates and then the amount of different sign-on bonuses and
show-up bonuses
and if your attendance is great, you get more money. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really is fantastic. They're not going anywhere. They're kind of a lifeblood in our community here, and we're so excited to have them on the Southwest Arkansas Sports page.
I believe our particular plant is one of their most productive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all over our footprint.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, they got plants in Nashville. They got a feed mill out, in north of Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a hatchery over there.
Yep.
They've got, you know, the plant here. They're just all over the place.
Yeah, and if you are looking to join a place where, hey, man, you want to climb up the ladder, this is a great place to do that. Here, let's talk about the benefits for a quick moment. They offer 401k. They offer paid time off and holidays. They offer their Better Futures free community college program. Go to their website to learn more about that. Insurance, growth and learning. Take advantage of more than 2,000 courses in their development program offerings, online learning and ad hoc courses that'll shoot you to the very top. Mm-hmm. You can really get to a solidified place in Pilgrim's Pride of the Queen. If you have some excellence in you, consider joining their team. That's right, man. Pilgrim's Pride, big thank you and shout out to them for sponsoring the podcast.
We appreciate them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what else do you guys want to talk about? We got some national stuff, and I think we got some podcast advancements that you want to talk about as well, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, we've expanded our footprint.
Mm-hmm.
We are bringing the Scrappers in, the Bearcats in, and we'll be previewing their football teams. Next week, we'll have Dumena, Ashdown, and Causatot River.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then week three, we'll do Nashville, Dirks, and Foreman.
Nice.
So I'm excited about it, man.
Yeah. So this whole month is basically we're preparing. We're talking about each and every team that we're talking about and looking forward to their season. But when the season actually starts,
Which will be the last week of this month.
Yeah.
Just keep up, man. It's going to be a whirlwind.
Yeah.
It's going to be a whirlwind.
It is. Yeah. It is, but it'll be a fun one.
Yeah. So we're taking the time now to set ourselves up for all this information. So if you're a big fan, make sure you keep listening this month. It's every week now, season three. We're in on it.
That's right.
That's exactly right.
So when you go, just a couple of things to look at, I know everybody around here is a Cowboy fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big time.
But you know what? I saw a meme the other day, and I have come to believe that this is probably as close to true as it could be. It had Jerry Jones on the star pouring gasoline on it and lighting it up. And I think he'd rather be in the news than win a Super Bowl.
I'm beginning to think you're right. I mean, it just some of the things are just inexplicable that they do. And instead of that the Cowboys have success because of him, I think it's more that the Cowboys have success in spite of him.
Mm.
And probably could have more success with a football man. And he thinks he's a football man. I'm not sure about that. But with a real football man in charge of those decisions.
Well, everything he does is a PR thing.
Yep.
I mean, any businessman of his stature knows you don't go out on the field and make a deal with your best defensive player during OTAs. And that's what he's saying happened.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Parsons is going, hey, I don't do that. My agent does that stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, so, of course, he's asked for a trade. Well, they don't have to give him one.
No.
And so he can sit out, I guess, which hadn't worked well for most people that have done it.
No. Usually you come out on the bad end of that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this as a Cowboys fan. Greg, would you – the Steelers just signed T.J. Watt. He's the highest paid defensive player in football. Would you take that trade? Would you take T.J. Watt for Micah Parsons?
Well, can I answer it this way?
You can answer any way you want.
No and yes.
No, you can't answer it that way.
Well, I'm going to explain to you why. If they had signed him when they should have, I would say no. I think Micah Parsons is for the longer term is going to be a better player.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm not sure Micah Parsons will ever be happy. And they're going to end up paying him more than they pay T.J. Watt.
Absolutely. So if they're going to keep him.
Yeah, if they keep him, they're going to have to.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's one of the things that I saw as I was reading some of this stuff. Why does Jerry do what he does? You know, if he'd signed, I think it was on ESPN, I can't remember where it was, but if he'd signed Dak, you know, 6 months before he did, he could have saved himself $10 million a year.
Yep. Yeah.
But by waiting, and he's done the same thing with Micah Parsons.
He is.
If he'd have signed him at the end of last season or sometime shortly after that, he would have saved $5 million a year.
Probably. I will say as a Steeler fan, I'd make that deal.
Yeah. well, sure you would.
Trading backwards 6 years, something like that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's why I said what I said.
Watt's 31. That's a lot of money to pay a 31-year-old defensive end. Outside linebacker.
Yeah.
Edge guy.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I think his best days are behind him.
I agree.
Micah Parsons still ahead of him.
But if you don't have him on the field, then.
Well, or if he's not putting out.
That's right.
And who knows?
Yeah.
You know, that just depends. So,
that's right.
But anyway, enough about that because it'll play out and somehow Jerry will pay him, it'll pay him $10 million more than what
T.J. Watt
got is what he'll do. And, you know, which is ridiculous. But that's why I almost think he does it just for the show.
Yeah.
So
he's a diva more than a.
Yeah. But you know, it goes back. We talked about this earlier. We're on the radio program. We were talking about presidents. And I told you I didn't think anybody over 65 ought to be able to run for president. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody as old as Jerry Jones ought to be able to manage a football team either. Yeah. You know what? Just real quickly, one of the other things he's done if it's true, because Facebook's where I saw this, he's asked Roger Staubach to come in and help. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Roger Staubach's 92 years old. I love Roger Staubach. He was a great quarterback. Mm. But that in the early 70s, or maybe the late 70s, but still in the 70s.
In the 70s, he
didn't go into the 80s.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, he's old.
And Jerry Jones and Roger Staubach, conversation of the ages that they have. What?
Yeah.
What? What? Now I said what?
Yeah, and that's about the way it is. Anyway, enough about the Cowboys. Looks like Shedeur Sanders is going to be the man up in Cleveland.
Well, they're apparently in the first preseason game that he's been named the starter for the first preseason game. I'm maybe more intrigued by that storyline than any in the NFL this season, because the Browns only have like five quarterbacks,
right?
And and you know, I have to follow the Browns because the Browns are my dad's favorite team. They're in the division with the Steelers, so I'm interested to see how that goes. And the Steelers had five chances to draft Shedeur Sanders and didn't. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing about them. They've got quarterbacks all the way from 15 to 45.
They do.
Joe Flacco is about 45 years old. And I think he'll be the starter in game one.
I would not bet against that.
Yeah. But you know, Shedeur, if you're starting the first preseason game, you're probably not the top quarterback.
No, people are misreading that.
Yeah, that's right.
You're exactly right. Matter of fact, they've probably deemed him as the expendable one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That's right. They're going to give him one shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's going to get a shot playing with third teamers, which is not the best way to make yourself look good.
No.
Anyway, preseason ramps up this weekend. It's going to be a full slate of preseason games. You got 3 weeks of that. Then it'll be time for the regular season. So we're getting right into it, right?
Yeah, nice.
In some NCAA football, looks like if you want to bet, Longhorns are the bet.
Longhorns and Buckeyes top the preseason coaches poll, and they are also right in the mix of who Vegas thinks will be in the national championship game. Texas is actually the favorite, and then Georgia and Ohio State, they're actually the same. They plus 650. Then Penn State, Alabama, Clemson, kind of a surprise to me, and then it falls back a little bit to Arkansas at plus 39,000, and then it falls back a good bit more to Marshall, plus 100,000. So what does that mean? If I bet $100 and Marshall wins the national championship, I would win $100,000?
I feel like it's more than that.
Be more than that.
Yeah, it's like a million.
If you bet a dollar, you'd win $100,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you'd win like a million, right? Yeah.
I'm gonna put all my savings on Marshall.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think it's worth it. I think it's a good shot.
I've never heard of anything being plus 100,000 a month, like ever.
There's teams back.
There's teams farther back than that.
Okay. Yeah, there are.
Yeah,
there
UCA.
Are.
And no shade on them, but I mean they're not going to win the national championship. They're not even in Division One. I'm sorry.
Right.
Are they?
No, they're what we used to call it 1AA.
Yeah,
and I'm going to call it 1AA to the day I die. But
right.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What they are.
Well, baseball getting more interesting.
Well, that's not a low. That's a really low bar to clear.
Yeah.
I think if somebody drops a thing of nachos, all of a sudden baseball's more interesting for a minute. So, what do you got? What is it?
Well, you know, they're talking about a salary cap, and Harper, the Phillies had a come apart at the baseball commissioner about it, and MLBPA. Is they're resisting as of course they would resist a salary cap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now the Yankees and the Dodgers are spending right around $400 million on players.
Yeah,
the Pirates and the A's, maybe one other, are spending about $30 million on players.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say Major League Baseball comes in, they're not going to set the salary cap at $50 million or $60 million. They're going to set the salary cap at $300 million or $400 million, or maybe above what the Yankees and the Dodgers are spending now, if there even is a salary cap.
So that's for all.
So the
players.
Salary cap, I think, is going to be set at a level that it doesn't help the small markets.
Right.
And there's always one small market team that does well, and then all these people, all these Yankee and Dodger and Red Sox fans, and say, well, look, this small market team is doing well. And the thing is, if you're a small market team, you could maybe put together two or three good years. But you can't keep those players. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Pirates maybe have the best pitcher in baseball right now, but they're not going to be able to hang on to him.
Only if they spend some money.
That's right. You know, the Brewers have the best record in baseball right now. Milwaukee's a small market. But they're kind of an anomaly. Mm-hmm. And they've got a Cy Young candidate that kind of come out of nowhere. And you know, they won't be able to hang on to those guys. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference. That's the difference. You develop somebody and you develop them for the Yankees or the Dodgers or the Cubs or the Red Sox or whoever. You
know? Yeah. So the salary cap is like a team cap. Like one team can only spend. So it's like when somebody's spending $400 million and it's capped at $300 million, for example. The Pirates are only spending $30 million. They can't even.
Well, football has a salary cap, but it works because they pull their money.
I got you.
You know, everybody basically has the same amount to spend.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever spends their money well usually comes out on top.
Yeah.
But, you know, I always compared it to us three were going to coach a little league team, mm-hmm. and we're going to use Monopoly money to do it. And we gave Greg $1,000 of Monopoly money, and we gave me $500, and we gave you $100, and we bid on players. Who's going to have the better team?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, the thing about it is what's going to happen is no matter what they do, if they set one, it's going to be set where the Dodgers and the Yankees can do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or they'll pay the penalty for being over or whatever. You know,
how much are they paying Shohei Ohtani?
Probably more than their salary.
I thought it was like $60 million or something like
that. He worked out some kind of deal where he's going to get paid, like Bobby Bonilla. He's going to get paid way into the future, which to me, the more I think about it, the more that's not maybe such a bad deal.
Sure.
But he has a bunch of deferred money.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. But anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think we pretty well covered it.
Well, it's been a busy first week. We got to preview two of the eight teams we're going to talk about. Next week, we're going to talk about Mena, Ashdown, and Cossatot River. But before we go, we got a couple other things we got to clean up. One thing I want to do is I want to thank our new title sponsor, Pilgrims, for coming on and supporting us and supporting all these teams in Southwest Arkansas. Secondly, welcome to both Mena and Nashville. We're looking forward to that association and hope we do okay. If we don't, send any problems you have to Tyler Massey at KDQN.com.
That's right. I'm great with taking complaints and any kind of customer relations.
Well, especially the Nashville people. I mean, we've had questions, and why we haven't done Nashville, I mean, it's a natural thing. Ashdown plays Nashville. We play Nashville in several things. I mean, it's a direction that we need to go.
Makes sense.
Well, and we had to start somewhere. You know, we didn't want to overwhelm ourselves.
Yeah.
And
we would have been easy to overwhelm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we probably are overwhelmed. Yeah. We just don't know it.
Yeah.
But you know, we still got a little bit of work to do before we finish off this podcast. We need to talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about UA Cossatot, which is a big sponsor for us on the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. They joined us last season, and we're so glad to have them returning for season 3 of this podcast. You can go to cccua.edu and learn everything about their programs of study, how to apply and enroll, how to actually pay for college, what student life is like with UA Cossatot, and some of the community and workforce programs they have going on. Check out their professional welding instruction today. Mm-hmm. I'm talking MIG, TIG, and everything in between. You can get all of that there. You can also, their cybersecurity, that's a new program that they're offering today. I think we heard a little bit about that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. So programs of study on the cccua.edu page can let you know everything, including, like I said, how to pay for college, financial aid, and scholarships, disbursements and refunds, and financial aid forms. You can get it all online. Veteran Affairs, again, scholarships, tuition fees, everything, meals and housing costs. You can find out everything you need from their high-quality website. And if you're a Colts fan, you can go to uacostatalkcolts.com. You can actually donate straight to the athletics department and find out everything you need to know about the UA Costatalk Colts, including their shooting sports, their soccer, and their basketball, which isn't too far around the corner.
And coming up, cross country.
Cross country as well,
Greg. That's right.
Yeah.
We just hired Tony Soto.
That's right. That's right.
Cross country coach. And if you want to hear about their athletics programs, you can go back and listen to our episode 44.
That's right.
Season 2.
Yep. Because we talked to Stan Asumnu and or is that the episode that you're talking about?
Yeah.
And
Hinman.
It's Justin Hinman.
Yep.
Excuse me.
And also, we had Patrick's interview with the shooting sports.
That's right. That didn't make it into the podcast, unfortunately. No. But we'll try and recover that. We weren't able to get that one dug up from the.
It was too deeply buried.
It was way too deep buried into all the audio that we have in this database.
But anyway, they got all kinds of things going on. One thing we want to talk about real quickly about Costat is 50.
Yes.
They've been there for 50 years. And you don't stay somewhere 50 years by being stagnant.
That's right.
They are constantly changing, adapting to meet the needs of the community, the industry in this area, and doing whatever they can to just help this be a better place to live.
That's
we
right.
appreciate them so much. Some special giving opportunities with the 50th anniversary. The giving day that they usually have in November is going to be moved to September 6th.
Mm.
I believe there'll be more information on that, and we'll get that out in the next couple of weeks too.
That's right.
As it becomes closer. But just remember that 50 years in our area and getting better every day.
Absolutely amazing. Check them out online, uacostatalkcolts.com or www.cccua.edu.
And that pretty much does it. But one thing we don't want to do, you know, we have a lot of sponsors that we every week sponsor certain things that we don't have during the preview show.
Sure.
So we want to mention them now. Tony, you want to go through that?
Shelter Insurance Woods Agency, Shelter Insurance Moore Agency, the Queen Motorsports, Domtar, Horatio State Bank, Union Bank of MENA, and, of course, Toad Thumper Lures.
Yes, of course.
We appreciate all of them so much. We couldn't do it without you guys. We couldn't do it without you listeners.
Yeah.
And we also couldn't do it without the kids. That's who we do it for. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.